Welcome to the deep dive. So, if you follow aviation, you've probably heard whispers, maybe more than whispers, about a quiet crisis. America's commercial planes, they're getting old.
Yeah, they really are. And the whole system that keeps them flying safely, the MRO system, it's under, let's just say, immense strain.
Right. We've gathered a bunch of sources for this deep dive, looking at supply chain issues, maintenance pressures, even confidential safety reports.
And what jumps out immediately is that this aging, it's not one simple story. You've got two very different situations happening at the same time.
Okay.
Well, first you have passenger airlines. Think Delta, United. They're flying planes like 757, 767s that are pushing, what, 27 years old? But that's mostly out of necessity.
Because they can't get the new planes delivered fast enough, the Boeing and the Airbus backlogs.
Exactly. Production delays. But then, flip side, you have the cargo carriers. UPS, for instance, flying MD-11Fs. These are over 30 years old, built by McDonnell Douglas, which, doesn't even exist anymore.
And that's aging by design, right? Their business model loves that older, cheaper metal they can convert from passenger to freighter, the P2F model.
Precisely. So you've got these really old planes, passenger and cargo, flying demanding schedules.
Which brings us to the maintenance floor. What happens when these aging aircraft meet the MRO system? What are mechanics actually dealing with day to day?
Well, they're often hunting for what the industry kind of jokingly calls unobtainium.
Unobtainium, love it, meaning parts they just can't find.
Pretty much. And it stems from two types of obsolescence, really. First is technology obsolescence. Think about the first glass cockpits back in the 90s.
Okay.
They used components like cathode ray tubes, CRTs, straight from the consumer electronics world. That stuff becomes obsolete in, what, 2 or 3 years?
Right, your phone is ancient after 2 years.
Exactly. But that same tech has to function reliably in a plane for maybe 30 years. It's a fundamental mismatch.
That's a crazy life cycle difference, and I'm guessing finding the actual metal parts, the structure, is even harder.
Oh, absolutely. That's the second type, manufacturing obsolescence. If you need, say, a specific structural piece for that old MD-11 airframe, the original factory tooling, the jigs, the molds, long gone, doesn't exist anymore.
So what do they do?
They have to rely heavily, sometimes almost entirely, on used serviceable material USM, parts scavenged from retired scrapped aircraft.
And this hunt for unobtainable parts, whether electronic or structural, it's hitting a wall, isn't it?
Oh,
Because
yeah.
the MRO shops themselves are squeezed.
Totally squeezed. You've got more demand. Older planes just need more maintenance, period, crashing right into a huge human capital problem.
The great retirement we keep hearing about. Experienced A&P mechanics, the ones who really know these older airframes, are leaving.
Yeah, and we're not training new ones fast enough to fill that experience gap. It creates a bottleneck.
So parts are scarce, experience techs are scarce, time is short. How does a system even maintain safety with all that pressure?
The industry's main defense is paperwork. Meticulous, rigorous paperwork. Every critical component, especially things called life-limited parts, LLPs, think engine turbine disks, landing gear components, they need an absolutely unbroken history. It's called back-to-birth traceability.
Like a passport for the part, often that FAA form 8133.
Exactly like a passport. And if there is any gap in that documented history, even a small one, that multi-$1,000 part, it's legally unusable. Scrap metal.
But here's where our sources get really concerning. We looked into those confidential NASA SR reports, the Aviation Safety Reporting System.
Yeah, those are eye-opening.
They show the human side of this pressure. You see documented cases, anonymized, of course, but real cases, of managers telling mechanics, and this is a quote, to just sign the shit.
Or demanding they install parts they know are wrong just to get the plane out, skipping vital steps.
It's procedural noncompliance driven by that pressure cooker environment. There was one specific report about a mechanic on a commuter plane.
I remember that one. Yeah, he saw defects like tire cords showing through, refused to sign off.
And the crew chief pressured him.
Pressured him hard. The mechanic ended up quitting rather than sign off on what he knew was unsafe. That takes guts, but it shows the pressure.
And the stakes are incredibly high, especially with these aging airframes like the 757s and 767s.
Definitely. The FAA is constantly issuing airworthiness directives, ADs, these mandatory inspection orders.
Right, demanding checks for metal fatigue, cracking.
Exactly. Repetitive, detailed inspections, looking for fatigue cracks in really critical spots, wing structures, stabilizers, places where the FAA knows failures could be catastrophic.
So if a mechanic under pressure cuts a corner on one of those inspections,
They could miss a crack that's slowly growing. a crack the FAA has specifically flagged as a potential failure point. That's the risk.
Okay, so faced with all this aging planes, scarce parts, human pressure, what's working? Are there mitigation strategies?
Well, the big example that comes up is Delta Tech Ops.
Delta's internal MRO division.
Right. They're huge, and they're vertically integrated. They handle almost everything for their own fleet in-house. Because they have such a diverse, older fleet themselves, like all those 757s and 767s,
they've built the capability to manage it.
Exactly. They can service their own planes, develop their own repairs under FAA approval, and it insulates them somewhat from the external supply chain shocks and MRO bottlenecks that hit other airlines harder.
Makes sense. What about longer-term fixes? Technology must offer some hope here.
It does. Two big areas are emerging. For the manufacturing obsolescence, parts where tooling is gone, we're seeing additive manufacturing.
3D printing, basically.
Essentially, yes. 3D printing structural aircraft parts. It needs intense validation, of course, rigorous FAA certification for each part, but it's happening. It offers a way to make parts that are otherwise unobtainable.
And what about the paperwork nightmare, the traceability, preventing bogus parts from getting in?
That's where blockchain comes in. The idea is to create a secure, unalterable digital ledger for that back-to-birth history.
So you could instantly verify a part's entire life story, combating those suspected unapproved parts, or SUPs, that inevitably pop up when parts are scarce and valuable.
Right. It aims to make that paper trail digital, secure, and instantly verifiable.
Okay. So wrapping this up, it sounds like the structural safety, the integrity of the U.S. fleet, it really hinges on this kind of fragile balance.
It really does. It's the intersection of, you know, 30-year-old metal and human vigilance, human reliability under pressure.
The system itself is robust on paper, but...
But the biggest risk isn't the system failing on its own. It's the human being under immense operational and financial pressure being forced or feeling forced to fail the system, to skip that check, to sign off on something they shouldn't.
Which leads to a final thought. The MRO industry knows it needs more mechanics. They're trying hard to build that talent pipeline. But given everything we've seen, the pressure, the ASRS reports, the very real safety implications, what non-financial steps do they need to take right now to make sure that this new generation never feels that pressure to cut a corner that could, down the line, lead to tragedy? Something to think about next time you're boarding.